We continue in our study of the book of Revelation. As soon as I find a battery that works, I don't know if I've got a battery that works. Put that on our Home Depot list. Third chapter of the book of Revelation reads this way. To the angel of the church of Sardis, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in my sight with God. Lord, let us wake up. First ourselves and those around us, then our church and our nation. But we can serve you in all ways. We have mentioned several names that need your help. They're having surgery or recovering from it. Some have lost loved ones or anticipating the loss of their loved ones. Others, Father, just lonesome and scared, without a clue of what to do next. So bless them. May your will be done, and let's be a part of helping them. For our nation, Father, we pray. For it seems we'll not only get farther and farther away from you, but we must sound like we're enjoying it as well. Let us come to a conscience and a repentance. Help us as Christians serve you by serving others. Be with our missionaries and our military and all those who are in need. Be with the speakers he gives his word today that will model after your teachings. Pray in Christ's name, amen. If you've not been with us for the last several weeks, do understand that this is John the Revelator writing down, not writing, but writing down, recording, if you would, what Jesus has given him through the Spirit to tell seven churches. Now, these seven churches are in what in those days were called Asia Minor. We call it today the region of Turkey. They start out against the seacoast and they go on inland. They could be any city if you wish. Because if you look and if you've been different places in life, it seems the same problems actually occur in most places we go. So Christ chose these seven cities as example because there were different types of problems in each one. And in doing that, and in telling the story for each one, both their faults and their blessings, their trials and tribulations and their successes, Jesus writes it for us. I don't know that any of you in here were born in the state of Florida. That means we've come from somewhere else. We brought our ideas with us. Our recipes, growing up and where I was, and sweet tea. We had sweet tea, breakfast, lunch, and supper. And 11 o'clock before you go to bed, you had sweet tea or Mountain Dew. That's just what we were. Other of you all drink coffee all the time or had scones and crumpets. We had moon pies and RC Cola. It's a true story. Years ago, 1996, 97, we were in the Murdoch Church. And on a Wednesday night Bible study, I mentioned, nothing is better at night than a moon pie and RC Cola. Not a single person in there but my wife and Sharon's parents had any idea what either one of those were. When they came back from their summer vacation, they brought a case of each. And that's what we had at church that Wednesday night. Moon pie and RC Cola. We have different backgrounds. Some of you with Italian backgrounds put a lot more oregano. And Mexican backgrounds, you got a lot more jalapenos in them. And Kentucky, you just got a lot of lard and salt in it. Am I not telling the truth? Yeah, been there, done that. Salt killed my grandmother eating salt and lard. She was 97 at the time. Folks, Jesus gave us these seven churches to tell us that whatever we've gone through or are getting ready to go through has been experienced before, and there is an answer for the problem. It starts with looking to God for the solution. The answer, of course, is Jesus. And that's what he's trying to get to John to give to the people. The best assumption, this was written between 94 and 96 A.D. That means Christ had arisen over 60 years past then. But he was still concerned about his people and the hope for our future. So he says, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. The seven different churches is how this is described. The word messenger, the angel there is also considered to be the word messenger. So send a messenger, a guidance to them. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Now, folks, we know about reputations. I mean, from now till the second Tuesday in November, first Tuesday in November after the second Monday, we're going to hear about reputations of these politicians and all. Maybe you go buy your car at a place because you've heard the reputation of the car dealership there. Or you go to a restaurant because they have a good reputation of quick, cheap food. Well, that only applies to McDonald's. Maybe not. He said, I know your reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Some people seem strong and powerful, having control over everything and really feel good about themselves, yet they are non-productive. Anybody remember what happened the second week of August 1977? Elvis Presley died of a drug complication overdose. Did anybody know Elvis was on drugs up to that time? I didn't. Today, it was on the news that some guy whose name I do not remember, with a group whose name I cannot remember, who is it? Got rushed to the hospital last night. Overdoses of drugs, they think. See, a lot of people look good on the outside, but not so well on the inside. And what Jesus wants to tell us, that you may look great and beautiful, but not be doing so well. We even watch a TV show called Property Brothers and Fix It or Flip It. And it's better than a lot of the other stuff, seriously. And they'll go in and buy a house, you know, without inspection. And they go in and first they do, they grab the front door and it falls off the wall. And they go up there looking. They see there's a little spot and take it and the whole ceiling falls in. You've seen those shows. Oh, they look so good at first. Even cars. If you all buy a really good looking car, and the first time you slam the door, the bondo falls off, and it's all crumpled metal. Looks good on the outside, but not on the inside. Jesus is saying to them, I know what you are on the inside. Oh, you look so vibrant and active and so alive. He said, but you're dead. You're dead because you did not do what is right, and you're not progressing. How scary that is. We play bridge, and you know who I'm talking about, John. We play bridge with the fellas. How you doing, John? And you get a full organ report. My livers, my kidneys, my sinuses. Ask Irina. She knows I'm telling the truth. And on and on and on. Well, John, you look great. Well, I wish I felt as good as I looked. Remind me, John, not to ask you again how you're doing. We bring, many of you do as well, poinsettias. At Christmas. I love poinsettias at Christmas because the day after Christmas, I can take my poinsettia home. I've got in the back of my house 7 or 8 poinsettias. I love them. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I knew you'd understand my hillbilly accent. Well, had them in those little bitty green plastic things you get. You can't leave one in there for 3 years. It's all root. So I had a couple weeks ago, while I'm supposed to be doing some help, but my ADD kicked in. So I go and dig up all the ground behind the back of the house near where the hair dryer, the clothes dryer is. And I planted my poinsettias and broke up all that white that looked like spaghetti bowl. And you know what? They go on one day and the next day they're going, I forgot to water them. That doesn't work too well. So I've been putting water on them every day for the last 2 weeks. And they all of a sudden they go, bing. and the start turning red and looking good. We have to be nourished. We have to be refreshed. My mother's idea of spring cleaning, y'all remember the word spring cleaning, yeah? My mother's idea of spring cleaning was a paint store. They had 2-for-1 prices on a gallon of paint. She didn't clean the house. She just painted green every year. Everything in the house was green. The plugs were green. Boy, it bothers me still. The plugs were green. The plates were green. The wall switch. Everything in the house was green. It was clean. As it could be raising 4 kids. It refreshed. And what Jesus is telling John to tell them is you've got to strengthen what remains. Or it's going to die. We were at a meeting this past week, and there was a reunion, not me, but there was in the same hotel, there was a reunion of the 1st Division, 3rd Battalion. Colin, I apologize for all you Marines. I don't remember what the order was. We're having a reunion. One of them was 92 that had landed at Normandy, all the way through the 20-year-old young guys. And I could see these young Marines. And the waist was smaller than their thighs, you know, and their arm biceps were bigger than my thighs. And they were proud and marching. Then you see the guys that have fought in the wars, World War II, Korea, Nam and the others. And they showed aging. They showed what had happened to them in all those years. They've not been able to keep up what they were when they were 18 and 20. Neither have I, matter of fact. But you're thinking, you know, how could they turn? They show pictures of when they were in the military and how strong and vital they were. But it had gotten away from them. And what Jesus is telling John to tell us, don't let it get away. Now, he's not talking about your physique. He's talking about your spiritual life. Strengthen what remains. After we would have ice storms back home, we would go in with a chainsaw and cut away the dead branches and pull them away. Paint the ends of the wounds of the broken branches so the bugs and all couldn't get in them and refresh them. And they would spring out so well. I was 10 years old and we lived in the country. We burnt our trash. Anybody ever here burn your own trash? Take it out to a 55-gallon drum and burn it. It was my grandfather's 75th birthday, and I lit threw it on the trash, and I walked back in the house, and before long there was a knock on the door and said, "Your field's on fire." I hadn't stuffed all the paper down inside the barrel. We're out there on a birthday party, stomping out, calling the police and all the fire department and everything. I thought the farm's ruined. It's going to ruin the whole 100 acres. It was down to the char. Before the next spring, when the snow had finished coming and the spring rains came, that was the greenest place on the field because all the old stuff that was in the way got burnt off and there was room to grow. In our own life, we need to get rid of what's covering up our spirit, our strength, our ability to serve, to love, to hug, to care about each other. And when we do that, we will be amazed of how fast new growth comes in. Now, the problem is, far too many get rid of the old trash, but they forget to reseed it or replace it. So you got thistles and briars and Canadian thistles. Y'all know what those things are with the red, those pretty little purple blooms, you know, that you step on and it hurts. You see, if you don't put something good back in its place, the bad stuff comes on. Jesus says you got to recover the dead. And when we're feeling down and when we're feeling blue, and you know, I honestly doubt if there's a single person here that hadn't had a pain in the last couple of weeks. Arthritis, bursitis, broken hip, broken knee. I'm talking about you, Dennis. We can feel pretty rough, can't we? An old age seems to get closer to us every day. Do we give up and let it take over? No. This little light of mine, remember this one? I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. That needs to be our life. And I don't care if you're 12, 22, or 92. We can be strong in something every day.
And replace the bad with the good. That's what Jesus is telling John. Strengthen what remains, or it will die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God.
He's giving us judgment time now. Not happy with what you're doing. You're not far enough along.
You ever been disappointed? Particularly when somebody says they're going to help you.
Whether it's the guy going to work on your car, somebody's going to bake your birthday cake, the roses you get for an anniversary or something. Pretty flowers today, of course.
You say, I'm really let down. I went to this place because they had such a good reputation. But I see what the product is, and it doesn't meet the reputation. What is wrong here? Or if someone comes to you and says, you've disappointed me. I was expecting more out of you.
That would make you feel bad and hurt your feelings. But what's going to happen the day we walk in front of Jesus? No longer the baby in the manger. No longer the man feeding the 5,000 or 4,000. But the one that's going to look into our soul and our history and say, I expected better out of you. Because he knows what we're capable of. And Jesus says, that shouldn't happen. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard and obeyed. He's referring now back to the gospel. Probably taught by either St. Paul or one of his followers. About the love of Jesus. Now remember, these people weren't born Jews. Most of them were Gentiles. They were in Turkey, not Israel. I knew what you heard. You heard the true gospel, he's saying. What happened? We have become extremely, inordinately dependent upon electronics. Got to get our little thing out, push the button so it can tell us where to go, how to follow, stop on this line. You got 3 miles or something like that. We get very dependent upon that. Have you noticed the kids don't talk anymore? No, they don't. At our dinner table a year or so ago, I looked down and my daughter's looking at the floor, my son's looking at the floor. They would giggle and laugh. They were texting each other at our dinner table when they could have reached across and touched each other's nose. But that was too personal, I guess. So they were texting each other out of contact. Try to have a lengthy conversation with somebody probably under the age of 30. It's hard to do. They'll send you an emoji. You know what an emoji is? Some little silly pictures. Or some of you are laughing too much. You definitely know what it is. And then send little pictures. Or you get the TFF or BFF or all these kind of things. And we don't seem like we care about each other anymore. Folks, Bill wrote that song. It touches my heart every time I hear it. I'm so glad. Gaither, that is. I'm so glad. I'm a part of the family of God. And that's one thing I love about this congregation. You all, we all, together are a family because most of us don't have anybody else in the state that we're kin to. So we bonded, and we have dinners, and we have the ding-a-lings, and we have the guys that clean the carpet, and the ladies that fill the communion, and all these things because the family's working together. We gather on Sundays, we gather on Wednesdays to strengthen that family. It's not that way in every church. There are churches that are at war within instead of fighting the warrior from without, Satan himself. And what we must realize is that until Christ comes back to get us, and until that day of judgment, this is the best, closest thing we have to heaven. And we should enjoy one another and share with one another and care with one another. We pray for one another. We eat with each other. Some of you sing really good with one another. Some of us just make noise. And I'm not sure it's really the joyful noise that's in the book, but it's noise. So what we've got to do is say, what's important in my life? And where am I going with it? Remember, therefore, what you've received and heard and obey it. See, there you go. It doesn't stop by just hearing the gospel. Matter of fact, the devil quoted scriptures to Jesus.
So just knowing it doesn't mean a thing about it, but obeying it and then repenting to be truthfully, soul deep sorry that we've been outside of Christ and ask Him for forgiveness and strength. And He promised He will do it. I will come like a thief. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you. Surprise. That's what it is. Big conversation in the news this week. Some of you may remember the day. Matter of fact, you may remember the name Enola Gay when we sent the bombers over. One time Hiroshima, and another time Nagasaki. Those people had no idea it would be the last day of their creation. Last night, a bus down in Texas was hit by a van, killed 12 people. I doubt if they thought that would be their last day here on earth. And what Jesus is telling us is, you better very well be ready. It'd be like driving across that Mojave Desert with no spare gas in your can and going past the last one. She's not here today, so I'm going to tell you something really happened. We were going back to college, and she's either to be with Emma or gone before I tell these stories. And please don't report these to her. She remembers them. Last time I told you about those cookies, she heard about them. And then I didn't hear nothing about it for a long time. We were going down to Milligan College in Johnson City, Tennessee. And I always carried a spare gas can because you didn't know about the snow and getting stopped. There's a gas station. No, I don't like it. Here's a gas station. No, it doesn't look clean. Here's a gas station. The restrooms are outside. Keep going. I'll tell you when. Well, the little Vega said when. Ran out of gas. So I'm outside the car in a cold winter day pouring gas out of a metal can that, what was it, you remember the blue mimogram that you made that smelled so good when you took the test? I'm pouring gas out of that through a paper funnel that I rolled up around itself, a piece of cardboard, in the tank. She said, whatever bathroom's next is fine with me. Don't wait till it's too late. Fill that tank up. Our old age, we decide we're going to fill up at a half tank. I never know what will happen in between. I will never back up one leg. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They've kept their life pure. A few, it says, not a majority. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. He who overcomes is mentioned at every one of these churches. It means you resisted the temptation and the evil. You got forgiveness for God from what you did. You were prepared to serve Him. Not everybody overcomes. You ever watch that TV show? I have not in about 15 years. I learned enough the first time through. Survivor? Remember that one? Survivor? And we hear about news stories all the time. Somebody gets lost in the woods because they were a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout or an Eagle Scout. They had the little knife and they had some drinking water and they were prepared. We need to be prepared. You don't think tragedy could happen? It's supposed to be snowing in the northern part of the United States today. 6 inches of snow. You don't think bad things can happen? Let me mention two words to you. Charlie and Wilma. Yeah. We see car wrecks every day. And tragedies and hardships. Bad things can happen. And it makes them a lot worse when we're not prepared. And when Christ comes back together, He is in. The time of rapture, the time of separation, whatever term you'd like to use. We would very well be ready to do it. One of the poems I love to do at a funeral is called The Dash. Some of you have heard it. It goes about like this. Saw in the newspaper the other day about a man dying. It had a line, the day they were born. It had a line, it's the day they died. Then it had a dash in between. We can't affect the day we're born. And usually not even the day we die. What we can affect is that dash. What do you do with the time you've got? is productive, if it's helpful, if it's loving, if it's obedient, it is a very good story. If not, it can be just a type of wasted life. How sad that is. You have a few people in Sardis who have not sold their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. They earned it. They've kept the requirements. Knowing Jesus, believing in Jesus, repenting for your sins, acknowledging that you need to be saved, and going through the water grave of baptism, arising to walk anew. That's how we become worthy, because we're obedient. He who overcomes. Gosh, I love that. He who overcomes. I will never blot his name out from the book of life. We've heard that many times in the Old Testament. We mentioned five times in the Old Testament, multiple times in the New Testament. It's evidently recording acknowledgement to those who belong to Jesus. If you've ever joined a group organization, you sign some kind of form, you join them, you want to be a part of the Kiwanis or Rotary or whatever group you're in, keep that book. But Jesus keeps a book to those who belong to him. And listen to this. I will never block his name out of the book of life. He will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear. Your salvation cannot be taken from you. You can give it away, you can throw it away, you can waste it away, but no one will take it away. We've got to focus on that. That's a gift from God. And with knowing that, we should be excited. Because Jesus will never allow your name to be taken out. What a joy that is. Some of you may have come from a church called where they talk about backsliders. And churching people and throwing them out. You can only get rid of your own salvation. Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And since it was divinely written and inspired, it's got to be truth. For Jesus has never sinned. Therefore, he wouldn't lie to us. He wants to redeem us. If you've got an ear, let yourself hear of God's love and salvation. What a promise it is. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Goes in front of the song, Leaning on the Everlasting Cross. Have you been to the cross? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you been obedient? Been baptized to walk anew? Filled with the Holy Spirit and strengthened no matter what happens? God will bless you. Our hymn of invitation decision, I wrote down 497. Am I anywhere close to that? Got it right for once. Stay with me as we sing hymn number 497.